And now we will have the Bible reading. Thank you, Ali.
Today's reading is from James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 from the NIV. Boasting about tomorrow. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Good morning and a happy new year. Ali, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take that passage and speak about it. My normal practice, as you probably know, is to take a passage of scripture and then out of that passage bring the thoughts and understanding the passage. But I thought this morning, being the first of the year, we might do things a little bit different. I thought, well, I could tell some stories. And Pam's already upstaged me. I didn't know she was going to tell that story. You didn't. But an interesting thing, you know, for me, the bit of the story she alluded to, but we didn't expand on, was the fact that we'd just had, I think it was a dozen tukuls, they're called. They're basically mud houses with a grass roof. A dozen of these built for a workshop that was due to start the first week of November. And I was there January, yes. I'm never very good at dates. And 31st of December, I paid for those, building all that. And 1st of January, they all burnt down. So what have I learned about buildings? The Lord had other plans. The workshop went ahead and was accomplished. I can't remember how it was. But my plans, well-laid plans, came to nothing. They went up in smoke that day. And I won't tell you what happened to the buildings after that. So what are your plans for 2023? Let me ask another question first. What were your plans for 2022? Did they work out? Our plans are fragile. When developing plans, I used to say, all plans are draft until they are history. There's nothing in between. It's either draft, which means you've not got there yet, or it's history, and it's in the past. As the writer of Proverbs tells us, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't even know one day ahead. And yet we make these plans and think we know what is going to happen. As I thought about this, it occurred to me it's the nature of men and women, young people, children, to make plans. It's built into us to make plans, isn't it? We do it all the time. I thought about that. Making plans is an expression of hope, isn't it? You've got hope and you make plans. The people who don't make plans are the people who have no hope. And that's a desperate place to be in, with no hope. Let's think about planning in Scripture for a moment. We've been following, much of the last months, Abraham and Abraham's life. We'll pick that up, God willing, my plans. God willing, we'll pick up more of the story of Abraham later in this year. But we know that Abraham planned, he planned to have a family with Sarai, his wife. But by the time he reached the age of 90, his plans seemed to have gone adrift. His plans were not working out. But God had a plan for Abraham. And God's plan was greater than Abraham's. He was just thinking in terms of a family. God was thinking in terms of a worldwide family, not just half a dozen kids or whatever. And it's God's plan that was fulfilled in Abraham's life and through Abraham. In God's time, God gave Abraham a family beyond expectations. And just recently, what about Joseph and Mary? Sure, they had plans. They had plans which included marriage and a family. But their plan was thrown up in the air by an angel visiting Mary. And the conception of Mary's first child didn't involve Joseph. That certainly was not part of their plan. But I love Mary's response when the plan was abruptly changed. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now that's from the 1984 NIV. The 2011 NIV is a bit different. But listen to it. She said, having had her plans, her hopes, her dreams thrown up in the air by what the angel said, and she had no idea how this was going to work out, she says, and for this, she's my hero. She's one of my heroes in Scripture. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Putting her plans on one side, she says, "If it's good for you, Lord, it's good for me." Wow! If I could be like that. Then, of course, King Herod had plans. What were King Herod's plans? His plan was to rule as king in Jerusalem and then to hand his kingdom on to his sons. And in carrying out that plan, he planned to destroy the newborn king that the Magi told him about. But that plan came to nothing, overruled by an angel sent by God to Joseph in a dream. All these men and women had plans, and their plans were overruled by God. And we all have personal experiences of planning. Humor me while I share some of my plans as I look back over, well, I don't know how long I look back over. My teenage years. Did you have plans as a teenager? I actually didn't even think about that. What were your plans as a teenager? Well, you look so serious here this morning. Come on, tell me, what were your plans when you were a teenager? What were your plans? Get a job? Any other plans? You're just drifting through life? You made plans. What were they? Drive a car? Okay. Ali had plans. She knew anybody who had plans? I have plans. I articulated my plans. They were threefold. A job, a good, secure job. That was important as a teenager. A wife and family, and a home, a house of my own that I owned. My dad was unemployed for much of my youth, so he didn't have a secure job. He did have a wife and family, my mum, and we were a great family. And a house, we lived in a council house when I was growing up, so it was rented, it wasn't this. So that was the three ambitions I had. A good secure job, a wife and family, and a house of my own. And I actually achieved all those plans by the age of 21. Don't ask me how, but it happened. And I was teaching mathematics in a boys' grammar school at the age of 21. And teaching mathematics was a secure job in those days. They were desperate for maths teachers. And I had a wife, Pam, and we had two kids by the time I was 21. And believe it or not, we had a mortgage, true, on our first home there. Well, God, yeah, how did you do that? I was too young at the age of 20 to sign the papers on that house. So Pam signed the papers because she's a few months older than me. And then by the time I got to be 21, we actually finalized it and we owned that house. But God had other plans. Those were my plans. God had further plans for Pam and me. So 50 years ago, about this time, actually it was 50 years ago yesterday, was my last day of paid employment. So just over 50 years ago, I resigned from that secure job, teaching mathematics. And since then, we have learned that our security is truly in the Lord. And He's provided for us and our family ever since. And we praise God for that. I feel within me welling up a song of praise just how God has done that for 50 years. Pam may quibble on the dates. I did my arithmetic and it's about 50 anyway. But what was important was not my plans, but discovering God's plan. And we came to believe at that time that God was calling us into full-time missionary service. But what? And where? So we began to make plans. And when you make plans, I don't know how it is with you, but you go down wrong, you say, this seems to be God's way for us. And then it fizzles out. And we had that experience. We had our home opposite the school where I was teaching. One day, I opened the door and there's an African standing on the doorstep. Never met him before, didn't know him. He'd been given our name and address by a mutual friend. And he'd come to stay with us. he came from Congo Republic. He spoke French, didn't speak any English. My French was minimal. We got along well. And he came and stayed with us for, I don't know how many weeks. How many? About 10 days he stayed with us. And towards the end of that time, he invited us to come and work with him in Congo, in Africa. Wow. Well, when you're thinking about, Lord, what's the way forward? And somebody comes from Africa, unexpected, unannounced, and says, I want you to come and work with me in Congo. What? This surely must be God's way forward. And so we started making plans to do that. Together with our church in Romford, we laid our thinking, introduced them to Antoine. We made plans, and we couldn't find a missionary society that worked in Congo Republic. This is not the big one. This is not Democratic Republic of Congo, which is the big Congo. There's a little Congo north of the River Congo. And we couldn't find a mission society that worked there, or one that we could join anyway. So we started to set up a missionary society. Can you believe it? How old was I? Anyway, it doesn't matter. To send us out. And then Antoine, I think our church provided the funds for him to go back. He had no funds to go back to Africa. And he went back to Congo. And we never heard of him again. No contact with him. Mind you, he had said to us, when I go back, there's always danger. He said it in French. Yeah, that wasn't French. That was quite understandable. He was facing I think it was a communist country at the time, and he was facing real danger there. So he went back. So those plans fizzled out. Then we explored Wycliffe. We heard that Wycliffe needed two things. They needed math teachers. Believe that. They had missionary kids throughout the world who needed somebody to teach them maths. Well, I could do that. And they needed house parents for missionary kids who could provide, when the mum and dad weren't there, provide a home for them. We could do that. So that seemed a good plan. But then somebody, as we went through the application process for Wycliffe, they said, why don't you try linguistics? Well, try it, I suppose. My training was maths and science. Languages was not my strong suit. I did so badly at French in the first year at grammar school that they wouldn't let me take Latin and dropped me two forms. But we tried linguistics, and our plans were radically changed. We discovered something that nobody ever told me, that there was a science of linguistics. A science of linguistics that approached languages in a scientific way. So we switched from planning to be house parents and teaching maths. We planned to preparing to do linguistics and Bible translation. So we spent 3 years at Bible College and 3 years up here at the Wycliffe Center training in linguistics and Bible translation. And we believed that this was God's plan for us. Sounds good plan, doesn't it? I mean, it just seemed reasonable. So after 3 years of training for linguistics and translation, we were on our way to southern Sudan to do linguistics and Bible translation. But on the way, we attended a course in Cameroon on Africa orientation, how to live and survive in Africa with minimal support. So we left England on the 6th of January, 1977. Was that right? Yeah. It was Epiphany, the day wise men travel. So that was a good day to travel. We went to Cameroon for a few weeks. And while we were there, John Bendor Samuel, the Africa Area Director, came by and he said, we'd like to ask you to consider something. We'd like to ask you to consider switching from Bible translation, from linguistics and Bible translation, switching to literacy. They needed, tell you the truth, it wasn't the literacy they needed. They had a team in southern Sudan who were working with the government on literacy. A team of two women. And they said, the women said, what we need in this man, in this team is a man. And they knew, one of them had taught me some literacy. So my basic qualification was that I was a man. So 3 years of training in linguistics and Bible translation and all that, it's what I was born with that counted. Would you consider switching to literacy? And we wrote to our church, good thing to do, and sounded it out with them, and most of them said yes. One deacon said he didn't think it was a good idea. Later on, he came and said, I was wrong. And so we switched, and our plans changed again. We're on a different path altogether. Pam and I have learned to hold our plans lightly. Not that planning is wrong. Over the years, I have heavily invested in planning. In fact, in one situation, I earned the name the planning monster. Because planning is good. You need to do planning. But you need to hold those plans lightly before the Lord. Our plans are not what ultimately matters. I came to have a philosophy of planning which was basically this. Discover what God is doing and join him in doing it. Discover what God is doing and get with it. That's where your planning needs to be. That's our personal experience of planning. And it continues. What about those who plan in our world today? I will leave aside the plans of our political leaders and the various fates of our political leaders that we've observed. But a certain Vladimir Putin had plans. I think he did. We're not sure what those plans were. Nobody seems to know what his plans were. But they seem not to have worked out. Many Western leaders have been surprised that the war in Ukraine continues. Putin had his plans, and people said, well, he planned, you know, it'll be over in a few weeks. A friend of mine, he decided, well, a Wycliffe Christian brother, he says he wasn't going to shave until the war in Ukraine was over, just as a solidarity with the Ukrainians. He thought it'd be over in a few weeks. He hasn't shaved since the war began, and he's wondering, he says he's going to apply to join the Holman clan, but that's another story. But yeah, Putin had plans, and as far as I can see, those plans have in no way worked out. But we know that Putin's plans count for absolutely nothing compared with God's plans. And we know that eventually Vladimir Putin will bow the knee before King Jesus, either by God's mercy in this life or in God's judgment in the next life. One way or another, Putin will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. So what about your plans for 2023? Have you thought about them? Perhaps you say, oh, I don't have plans. Well, think about it a bit more. I think you'll find that you do have plans. Hold them lightly. Submit yourself and your plans to God. As James tells us in the passage we read earlier, James 4, verse 15 says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. It used to be the practice in the churches that Pam and I grew up in that whenever there was a notice in church about a service or something or other, down at the bottom right-hand corner, there would be capital D dot V dot. I don't see it these days. I don't see it in our church notices, DV. Pam used to think it meant dinner in the vestry. But I think it's Latin. They never let me do Latin, as I said. I think it means Dominus Filentus or something like that. God willing, Lord willing. So whenever that notice went up, the church said they were going to hold a meeting or something like that, down at the bottom it says, Lord willing. And that's how we need to hold our plans lightly before the Lord. If it is the Lord's will, Lord willing, we will do this or that. The writer of Proverbs has much to say about plans. And one particular verse struck me, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, which in the New International Version says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I looked that up in a few other versions, and I came across an interesting translation of that in the Living Bible, which shortened it quite considerably. Man proposes, but God disposes. Man proposes, but God disposes. So I chose that as a title. You wouldn't know that. Title for the sermon today. Man proposes. We make plans. We think we know what we're going to do, or we hope we know what we're going to do. We make plans. It's not wrong. Be wise to say Dominus Volentus, or whatever that word is. I must look it up sometime. Lord willing, this will happen, and we will do such and such. But God disposes. It's God who actually has the, not just the final say, but the say all the way through from day to day to accomplish his purposes. Man proposes, but God disposes. What about our plans for Oak Ridge Baptist Church? This brings me to the verse chosen by our leadership team as the church motto for 2023. Again from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So as a church, we need to hold our plans lightly before the Lord. We need to plan. Of course we need to plan. But we need, Lord willing, every time. And we need to see how the Lord will change our plans. Things, I can assure you, whatever plans we make, they will not work out according to what we think. God adjusts our plans. He has the master plan. We are sort of approximating to it, or hopefully we're approximating to his plan. And as we rely on him, as we look to him, he will adjust our thinking. He will adjust our planning. There is a danger, and I've been guilty of it and seen it many times, for us to make plans and then bring the plans before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, these are our plans. Please bless our plans. Please bring these plans to fulfillment. Something wrong with that. We need to say, this is what we think, Lord, but what do you think? And that's fundamental. He will bless what he proposes. We don't want him to bless what we propose if it's wrong, if it's not according to his plan and purpose. That's what's important, to find out what he is doing and join him. So as a church, let us together submit our plans and our planning. Actually, other way around. Submit our planning and our plans to him. Then we will not be surprised when he overrules our plans. We will praise him when he overrules our plans. We grope for all the information that we need in our planning. And it isn't there. We get bits of information and we think, have we got enough information on this? And when we think we've got enough information, we make plans. Yes. But the Lord has all the information. Nothing is hidden from him. So as we submit our planning and our plans to him, he will overrule. He will accomplish his purposes. Remember, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have a plan. Right from beginning, right from creation, Right from when you said, let us make man in our image, you had a plan. And thank you that your plan will prevail. Your plan is prevailing. No, Lord, we come to submit ourselves to you and to your plan individually. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, as they think through the coming year, we pray that you will give them insight and wisdom to know what you are doing, so the plans they make will be in line with your plan and purpose for them. And for ourselves as a church, O Lord, we pray that you will prosper our plans, but Lord, prosper our planning, that we may be in touch with you. And when we're not, Lord, we plead with you to overrule our planning. Lord, don't let our plans get in the way of what you are doing and what you are wanting to do. So glorify your name, we pray, in us individually and in our church, as we look to you. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.